I'm Callie Crossley, and this is Under the Radar with Callie Crossley. And now for the part of the show we call Lanya, that's Creole for something extra, from Oscar-winning movies like Parasite and the Oscar-nominated Past Lives, to the innovative modern fashion and the thumping beats of K-pop groups Blackpink and BTS, Korean culture has risen to global prominence. It's known as the Korean Wave, or Hallyu. The Boston Museum of Fine Arts highlights the spectacular rise of Hallyu in a 250-piece exhibit, including ancient art, current music, and pop culture trends. Joining me, Christina Yu, Chair of Art of Asia at the Museum of Fine Arts, Boston. Welcome, Christina.
It's a pleasure to be here.
Oh, I'm glad to have you. Also with me, Dr. Iri Son, Assistant Professor of Korean Language and Literature at Smith College. Hello to you, Dr. Son.
Hello. I'm happy to be here, too.
Well, this is so exciting. I just want to let you know right off, Christina, that I marked this on my calendar when I saw it was coming months ago. So obviously, Hallyu has affected me as well. So the exhibit is quite vibrant, and it starts right away with a piece that some people may remember back in 2012 when the artist Psy, P-S-Y, had a hit called Gangnam Style. Let's take a listen.
Oppan Gangnam Style. Gangnam Style. Oppan Gangnam Style. Gangnam Style. Oppan Gangnam Style.
Just want to give my listeners a taste of what became the $1 billion download from YouTube. It was an amazing global hit, hit the U.S. in a big way, and lots of folks enjoyed it. And for a lot of people, it was the first time they had ever listened to a Korean song. So that maybe was the first introduction to the Hallyu for the U.S. for some folks. Anyway, the exhibit goes on, Christina, and you've grounded it, yes, in the pop culture of Korea, but set in the larger context of Korea's history from a dynasty in 1897. And you included pivotal points like the Korean War, Japan's occupation, the eventual divide into the North and South Korea in 1953 up until today. Why was it important to have this contextual history to frame the exhibit?
Well, for me, it is very important for people to understand the historical background and the cultural background of the Hallyu phenomena. And of course, Hallyu did not come out of nowhere and is actually deeply rooted in Korea's history, its value system, and is also a product of Korea's recent history. So for me, it's very important for the visitor to have that context before they got into what we think is the core of Hallyu.
What would you say, just pick a couple of pieces, this is an expansive exhibit, 250 pieces, as I've said, but if you would pick a couple that you feel are particularly connect that history with the Korea that some of us know today through the culture that's been exported and embraced all over the world?
Actually, there's so many references and connections here. And one thing, you know, that come to my mind immediately is actually the Netflix hit, The Squid Game. But actually, what is not known is actually the director and the story is also deeply connected with historical moments like the financial crisis that hit Korea in the 90s. So there's so many moments and so many pieces that we can think about and to make that connection of what is today as part of Hallyu, but also has this deep historical connection.
So, Dr. Son, something that you made clear is that the first wave of Hallyu was actually contained to Asian countries. And then when it exported, especially in the U.S., it came through immigrant communities in L.A. and New York. Talk about that a bit.
Yeah. So Hallyu, I mean, we oftentimes, when it comes to think of this term, I mean, those who are in the United States often think about it in terms of the recent hit of Squid Game and the BTS, but actually it came even before that. So as you said, it started in the late 1990s in East Asian countries. So Hallyu, the term itself, was actually the term developed outside of the Korean Peninsula. We cannot really kind of locate the origin of this term, but maybe we can consider that coming from either Japan or China. So the Korean culture was slowly gathering its popularity among East and Southeast Asian countries. And then in the United States case, I think it started with some of the visible evidences like Gangnam Style and BTS and Squid Game, but there were certain undercurrent among immigrant families, communities, as well as Asian American and Latin American young people who were starting to appreciate this culture as a subculture, not necessarily a mainstream culture.
So Dr. Sun, why immigrant communities? What was the connection that was calling out to those communities that made it easy for some of young people particularly to see themselves, if you will, or see a connection to Hallyu?
Probably it started with the Korean American community, I think, right? So these Asian immigrants who started watching their own the TV shows and listen to popular music from their country of origin. But then it not only kind of impacted this Korean American identity, but also these other Asian Americans who lacked their representation on mainstream media slowly get immersed into this different kind of representations of their own races or their own faces on media.
Well, what we know is that Hallyu and the embedding of it, the global audience is now huge. I was taken with the fact while preparing for this conversation that in 2021, Korean words were added, 20 of them, to the Oxford Dictionary. Hallyu was one of the words, but also mukbang. Those are those popular videos of people eating large quantities of food while talking to their audience. Or hanbok. That's the traditional Korean outfit worn by men and women. And you have in the exhibit, Dr. Yu-Yu, two or three areas where we can look at hanbok traditionally and see some of the innovative fashion that had used a traditional hanbok and then just gone far afield to really bring it into modern fashion that is so hip and exciting. Talk about that, if you would.
Yes, absolutely. It's very interesting to see how, as we said earlier, how, you know, something we think is very edgy, very contemporary, very hip, all has this deep root with the Korean culture and history. So yes, hanbok is a very traditional dress worn by both men and women. It's actually very interesting, probably in the mid 20th century, I would say maybe in the 60s and 70s, there was an effort to revive this traditional dress, but it was not very successful. It was considered traditional, it was dull, it was old fashioned. But it was only, again, until the 90s, and then of course accelerating the 2000s and until now, that this form is taking its very innovative and contemporary spin, if you would like to say it. It also shows how actually fashion designers, among other areas of creative industries in Korea, really take a pride in their cultural identity.
And people will be delighted in the exhibit to see the winner of Next in Fashion, see what she's done with the hanbok as a base. I mean, what we're saying here, and I want my listeners to get, is that Hallyu is just so expansive. We've got media and cultural products and music and webtoons and dramas and movies and even makeup. And here's another point I wanted to make with you two. As I go through the exhibit, or as I went through the exhibit, I was reminded about how much stuff that I don't think I knew was Korean, but that is just a part of my life now. I don't even think about it. It just, there it is, but it's got that cultural link to Korea. So I thought, let's enjoy a little gathering of sound from a lot of different areas of Hallyu and from producers who are making it such. So here's something from Blackpink, Samsung, Parasite, Squid Game, and Korean Fried Chicken. How you like that?
changing your battery?
Yep.
Is that the new Samsung?
Yep. Have a good one, man.
Jessica, 외동딸, Illinois, Chicago. 과 선배는 김지모, 그는 이사촌.
애들 게임 규칙 반순해.
내가 무조건 이기게 해줄 테니까.
무슨 수로?
무슨 수를 써서도.
All new season, Bonchon K-style chicken. Now, must my flavor inside and out.
Must my key.
Gotta say, a lot of us have enjoyed and know about all of that. And that's just a piece of the Korean wave, as we're talking about that Korean cultural wave. Dr. Sun, you've talked about how this fan culture really drove us to appreciate all these various pieces of Hallyu and continues to support it and keep it going and keep draw in more people. Fan culture, we've seen it in every country. Why is fan culture so deeply a part of Hallyu specifically?
Yeah, so there are so many people, I mean, especially those who are trying to criticize Hallyu in terms of it's too much leaning over the popular culture instead of more like serious highbrow art, are talking about how this is just kind of frivolous or just kind of superficial phenomenon. But actually, whatever that happens regarding the Hallyu, I mean, there were definitely some government efforts to promote Korean culture for the last decades. Any cases of the kind of sudden emergence of Korean films like Squid Game or BTS and even Gangnam Style, they seem to come out of nowhere, right? It actually happened because of this fan community's efforts to promote and enjoy and reappropriate these culture. For example, the global craze over Gangnam Style was not possible without the social media network like YouTube channel, right? So it started kind of disseminating through that media. BTS also garnered its fandom from a very kind of popular and very friendly media, the daily videos on YouTube, instead of kind of this huge stage performances.
If you're just tuning in, this is Under the Radar with Callie Crossley. I'm Callie Crossley, and I'm speaking with Christina Yu, Chair of Asian Art at the Museum of Fine Arts, Boston, and Iri San, Assistant Professor of Korean Language and Literature at Smith College. We're talking about the global influence of Korean culture. So, Dr. Yu, I think the exhibit, I'd like you to respond to this, is situated for a really broad audience. I mean, we've talked about some of the pivotal pieces in the pop culture aspect of it, but wow, there's so much else that that seems to be, for example, pieces that maybe a regular museum-going audience might be familiar with, because the museum itself has some really ancient pieces. But how did you begin to think about how to draw this all together? Because by the very nature, a wave is huge. And so just trying to contain it so that we can sort of all follow what's happening, it seems to me, took quite a bit of thoughtfulness about how you wanted to present it. What was your goal in trying to present all these various pieces and make them part of the overarching theme?
These days, we think a lot here at the MFA, you know, what our museum is and who we're here for. And, you know, our tagline is here all belong. So we really want to make an exhibition that's appealing to everyone out there. And, you know, there are many different ways of doing it. You know, we talk a lot about K-pop, and people tend to think the audience for K-pop are younger generation. And but we also know that Hallyu is way more expansive than that. So, you know, like, especially in the TV drama and the K-cinema section, you know, we do see that, you know, people who are more, you know, drawn to that medium, you know, it's a very different kind of audience from the K-pop fans. And at the same time, because we have a very strong existing collection of Korean art, and for people who are more interested in the historical part and the history of Korea, we want to use our collection to highlight that as well.
And the way that the art is expressed is so beautiful, Dr. Yu Yu. I loved, for example, maybe I cross over in both groups, the hand-embroidered panels. Oh, my God. The delicacy, the intricacy. It looked like, and it was just so well-preserved. It looked like it happened yesterday, but we know that it didn't. And then in the same exhibit, we have this row of fascinatingly different lights that the kids hold up when they go to the K-pop groups, which in the way that it's displayed, they just look like art pieces. They look like these beautiful sconces that you would, I didn't even know there were different ones. So just in the same exhibit to have the spectrum of what is art and beauty is really wonderful. Dr. Yu Yu, I was interested in, because there's a big part of the exhibit that has to do with film, and as we know, film has been extremely important in delivering or eye-opening for folks here in this country about Korean values. And this year, there was a lot of discussion about past lives, which is also some part of it set in Korea, had some Korean actors, and most importantly, featured a concept, a Korean concept called Inyun. So here's a clip from Past Lives.
It's an Inyun. If two strangers even walk by each other in the street and their clothes accidentally brush, because it means there must have been something between them in their past lives.
I just raise that because the films have done quite a bit, Dr. Sun, to really translate some Korean cultures in a very subtle way, not as so forward, perhaps, as K-pop.
Yeah, so a lot of recent representations of Korea or Korean America has touched upon this reinterpretation of this highly untranslatable concept of Korean emotions into English. And then they're kind of trying to use that as a scaffold to build a relationships that are represented on screen. So I think that is quite interesting to see how this unique concept is kind of communicated with those who are not native speakers of Korean. And as Dr. Yu has mentioned, there might be some of the confidence among cultural producers about how Korean concept or Korean-ness can be delivered without necessary translation there. And then, at the core of everything, right, they are trying to find this very intriguing concept through Korean-ness. So that's one of the kind of encouraging moments, I believe.
So I'm curious from both of you, Dr. Yu Yu, if you were putting this exhibit together, let's say 5 years from now, how do you think it might look, because that would speak to where Hallyu might be going? I know you don't have a crystal ball, but you've done a lot of work in this area. I'm wondering if there are things you're seeing now that would indicate to you that some things would change. Maybe some emphasis would be different 5 years from now. And I'll ask the same question of you, Dr. Sun. But first, Dr. Yu Yu, what say you?
I think, Hallyu is a very fast-pacing phenomenon. And it's actually amazing when we started talking about having an exhibition in Boston about a year and a half, 2 years ago, and until now, we're looking at a fourth generation of K-pop stars and idols already. And at that time, I think we're only talking about third generation. Just in 2 years, we're talking about a totally different generation of idols. That just shows you how fast, things are changing and developing in this industry and in this area. But at the same time, to actually relate to what Professor Song was saying, is that actually I think there probably will be more nuanced approach to Korean culture, and not necessarily only looking at how it speaks to Korean population, of course, but also people who are outside Korea. Maybe there's going to be more this kind of comfort and the confidence in terms of taking a more the native approach.
Dr. Sun.
I want to look back into the history, to see how everything began with the fandom. So we never expected Gangnam Style comes back in early 2000 when Winter Sonata became a huge hit in Japan. And we never even know whether Squid Game became such a hit in 2012 when Gangnam Style became the massive hit in on YouTube, right? So this all kind of is contingent upon what people like and what people really kind of desire from Korea. There is a movement, movement, not necessarily organized movement, among the fans of Korean culture about the more sophisticated or nuanced understanding of Korea and Korea culture, which encompasses by and large Asian American culture too. So they started kind of thinking about this history and culture a few years ago. The BTS fandom army was trying to organize an effort to collect information about Korean history, especially regarding comfort women, and they created a document as well. Also, on the other hand, these highly kind of critical audiences, fans, started demanding Korean culture to be more inclusive and diverse in terms of race and sexuality, which has not been the agenda for Korean culture. So the change change is happening on both sides, like from the fans and the producers.
Last word, Dr. Yu, what do you want visitors to take away from the exhibit?
The most important thing for me for this exhibition in particular is it is something that's fun to do. Come to see the exhibition. Learn about Korean recent history, learn about Hallyu, but also be part of the exhibition. The exhibition has a participatory component, is where actually you can become an idol yourself and dance. So please do come to experience it, just have fun, but also again to know that Hallyu is a contemporary phenomena, but it also has a long, it's deeply rooted in Korea's history.
All right. Well, I enjoyed talking to both of you.
Well, thank you.
Thank you so much for inviting me. Thank you.
Christina Yu is the Chair of Art of Asia at the Museum of Fine Arts Boston. And Dr. Ire Son is an Assistant Professor of Korean Language and Literature at Smith College. That's it for this week's edition of Under the Radar with Callie Crossley. Listen to us online at GBH News or wherever you get your podcasts. And follow us on Twitter and Facebook to stay up to date with our programming. We're going out on Dynamite, the 1 billion download global hit from the K-pop sensation, BTS. Under the Radar with Callie Crossley is a production of GBH, produced by Jesse Steinmetz and engineered by Dave Goodman. Our intern is Tu Lee. Listen again on Wednesday and see you here at 6 p.m. next Sunday for a new episode. I'm Callie Crossley. Thanks for listening.